He's our Father, and He's a very faithful Father. He always feeds His people. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we are grateful to You because You're our good Daddy, very faithful, very merciful, very loving, very caring. Never let go of anyone whose trust or confidence is in You. We are here for You, Daddy, except You build, it's all in vain. Father, we thank You for You've been building us since we entered this morning, and we know You will continue. We know our lives will never be the same again by the time we are living here today, and we shall be careful to return all the praises and glory back unto You. Blessed be Thy name, merciful Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, we are doing part two of what we started to do last Sunday, if you remember. Benefits of praying with tongues to you and in your relationships. This is part two. Benefits of praying with tongues to you and in your relationships. Let's open to 2 Corinthians 1:22. Shall we read it together? It's on the screen. Ready, go. And He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything He has promised us. Let's read it again. And He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything He has promised us. Amen? So that means that, like the Bible said in Romans 8 verse 9b, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. For it is the presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ in you that guarantees that everything that belongs to Jesus is yours. That guarantees everything the Father has promised you. So He says it's the first installment that guarantees everything He has promised us. And we said that means that there is something more. And He said in where we read, let's go back again to that one. He says, by placing the Holy Spirit where? Is it upon our hearts? Is it upon us? He says in our hearts. So there is another one which will come upon you. Let's look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8, which we call the powerhouse of the believers. Let's read it together. Ready, go. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. Amen? So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that's the power, the ability, the efficiency for you to be effective witness, for you to live in a way that God will be glorified, for you to experience the manifest glories of Jesus Christ upon your life, in your situations. You receive that power upon you when the Holy Spirit comes where? Upon you, not in you. Coming in you is when you get born again, when you say yes to Jesus, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You need this one because that is what empowers you now for those glories of Jesus, those promises to manifest the more. You see it more upon your life. Amen? We said last Sunday that living the Christian life is not just difficult, it is impossible. There is no one who can live the Christian life the way God designed it unless it is lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God will never ask you to do what He has not equipped you enough to do. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but what? But by My Spirit. Your Christian life has to be lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're living it by do's, don'ts, let me try to do this because God said we should do this, you will keep on failing. This flesh will drag you down and you will live a miserable yo-yo Christian life. Amen? So God put His super into your natural and He turned you into a supernatural being when you receive the Holy Spirit of Christ in you, but it is now important for that power to manifest upon you so that your joy shall be full. Amen? 1 John 4:4 says, let's read it together. 1 John 4:4. Ready, go. Little children, believers, dear ones, you are of God and you belong to him and have already overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who is in you is greater than he, Satan, who is in the world of sinful mankind. Amen? The greater one lives in you. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lives in you if you have said yes to Jesus. I don't mean going to church. Going to church will never make you a child of God. If you like sleep in the church, if you like carry the Father's Bible, wear long gown, don't paint your face, that will never, ever make you a child of God. The only thing that makes you a child of God is that you have received the gene of God in you. And the gene of God in you is the Holy Spirit that comes to indwell you. And he can only come when you have had this good news, the gospel of your salvation, according to Ephesians 1 verse 13. And you have believed that the death that Jesus died was for your sins. And you say, I choose you today as my Lord and my Savior. That is the day you become a child of God. That is the day you receive the image of your Father in you. That is the day the greater one comes to indwell you. And when you know the power of the greater one that is in you, you will be far from oppression. You will not live a life of fear. Like the Bible said in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God has not given us his children, his dear ones, the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Whatever comes your way, you know that, of course, you are an overcomer. You are more than conqueror. That this too has also come to do what? To pass. Amen? So life in the spirit is the sweetest kind of life to live. And praying always with tongues will help you to stay full of God and of the love that he has for you. And then you enjoy these benefits. So as you pray with tongues, you speak mysteries to God. Let's look at that. As you pray with tongues, you are speaking mysteries to God. 1 Corinthians 14:2. We'll read verse 14:2. Let's read it together. Ready, go. For one who speaks, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands him or catches his meaning, but by the Spirit he speaks mysteries, secret truths, hidden things. Who do you speak to when you speak in tongues? You're speaking to God. Who understands you? Only God understands it, because say, for no one understands, even you yourself, you don't understand what you're saying unless you ask God for the interpretation. And he says, yes, you can ask me for the interpretation. Verse 14 says, let's read verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, what prays? My spirit prays, but my mind is what? Unproductive, because it does not understand what my spirit is praying. Amen? So your spirit prays, but the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. You don't even know what is going to be the next word. So praying with tongues is by faith. You receive, everything you receive from God is by faith. You receive it, and then the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. But as you're praying with tongues, you are speaking mysteries to God. That's what the Bible said. But God understands what you're saying. Let's look at that in Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Ready, go. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you see what he's saying, that God is the one who searches the heart. According to Jeremiah chapter 17, 10, he said, I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doing. So the God, your Father, who searches the heart, He says that I know what the mind of the Spirit is because the Spirit is making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen? So you see, he makes intercession for the saints how? According to what? The will of God. Amen? Now, answers to prayers is guaranteed when it is prayed according to the will of God. Which means that as you pray with tongues a lot, the Holy Spirit who knows the mind, prays for you according to the will of God. And God understands what the Holy Spirit is communicating. And because the Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God, the answer is a done deal. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, 14, 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Let's read it together. Ready, go. This is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers, not any other person, you must have to be a child of God, which means you have a spirit in you, for you to expect this to happen for you. Let's start again. This is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. 15. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the request which we have asked from him. Amen? So you see what he's saying there? First of all, the Holy Spirit prays for the saints, for the believers, according to the will of God. And this scripture is telling us that this is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have in him. That whatever we ask according to his will, and then he began to explain what that his will is, that is consistent with his plan and purpose. His prosperity is his plan and purpose for you. Health is his plan and purpose for you. Progress is his plan and purpose for you. Everything that Jesus died for to give you is his plan and purpose for you. And the Holy Spirit knows how best to communicate that to the Father. And the Father who searches of all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. But we have to cooperate and lend our tongue to the Holy Spirit. Like I'm standing here, I don't have what it takes to change any life. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, that every house is being built by someone, but he who built all things is God. It has to be God building you because I can't build any life. So that means it has to be by his word. But if I stand here and I say, let God use me, and I stand here and I'm waiting for God to open my mouth and begin to speak to you, nothing will come out. I have to, by faith, begin to speak. And I trust him to do what he knows best to do. In the same manner, you open up your mouth, you allow the Holy Spirit to begin, but he will give you the utterance. Each language that has to come has to be by him. And you have to believe that by faith. Amen? And he said, and if we know for a fact, which means you have to have the revelation of the fact that God is faithful to his word, and if he says that anything else according to his will, that he will hear. And the Holy Spirit is the one praying, and he prays according to the will of God. You are so sure that this is a done deal. Amen? So the Holy Spirit helps us to pray and to walk correctly according to God's will. He helps us to pray and to walk correctly according to the will of God. We do not walk according to the flesh. The Bible says that though we walk in the flesh, let's look at that. Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. Ready, go. For though we walk in the flesh, how do we walk? We live our lives in the flesh. We are in the flesh. We haven't died. We are not ghosts. We are in the flesh. Let's read. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you see, we do not fight against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It is not by he did me, I have to do you. It is not that. You can't talk it out. You can't say, let me give it to him, and then you begin to talk. No. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. And you have to do, in other words, we war according to the word of God. By, for instance, somebody does you evil. You choose to overcome evil with good. That's a war. But you choose to do it God's route. Amen? And then he says there, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts is there, because the battlefield is on your mind. So he said, I'm bringing every thought that does not line up with what the word said. Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that spitefully use you and persecute you. Every word that does not line up in line with what the Father said, with what the word said. The Bible says you should, you know, take it captive to the obedience of Christ, not to obey Christ. That's not to obey, that's to the obedience of, you know, that was, get it to line up with what the word said, with what Jesus Christ did for you. Because Jesus Christ has fulfilled for you. Like verse 6 said, I'm being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Your obedience is fulfilled only in Christ Jesus, which means as you live it, your life based on the way the Lord directed us. He's our head. Christ is our head. And all we have to do is just to simply follow his footsteps. So you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's to line up with what Jesus already did. Like for instance, there is pain here. That is not in line with what Jesus already did for me. Jesus healed me by his stripes. So I have to, it is my job to get it to line up to what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He healed me by his stripes. So I say, hey, you pain, in Jesus' name I cause you to your, come on, I command you, be gone from my hand. For Jesus healed me by his stripes. So you, my wrist, line up with the health of Jesus that is in you. What am I doing? I'm bringing this thing. It's telling me something. It's telling me pain. I have to bring it to the obedience of Christ. Amen? It is my responsibility because I take charge. Because he has armed me to take charge of this life, to bring it to line up to what God, your pulse is speaking to you. And he said, for your sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You bring it to line up. He said, no. It is well with me. He has provided well enough for me. In other words, always bring every, whatever it is, to line up with what you know has already been accomplished for you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Bible called him intercessor. The Bible, let me read it. That's John chapter 16, verse 7. The Bible called him our comforter, our counselor, our helper, our advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. That's a beautiful. Can you imagine? When you need comfort, he's there to comfort you. When you need counseling, people go to pay a lot of money to receive counseling, but you have the best counselor in you, the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. He's your advocate. He's your intercessor. That's why he prays for you according to the will of God. He's your strengthener. When you need to be strengthened, he's there. For he's your standby. He does all these things for you. So the more you pray with tongues, the more the manifestations of all these things that he does, you begin to experience it upon your life. Amen? So he knows everything and can pray through you, which, you know, especially in the areas where your natural mind might never go to, that you need to pray. The Holy Spirit does that because, remember, he's the Holy Spirit. He knows all things. He understands all things. He's representing Jesus Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, 26 to 27. Romans 8, 26, 27. Ready, go. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. 27. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Amen? So you see what he's saying in verse 26. He helps us in our weakness. When is that our weakness? He said, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. He didn't say that we don't know how to pray. Everybody knows that we have to pray in the name of Jesus. Everybody has to know that Jesus already finished for us and said, in that day,
you will ask me nothing. According to John chapter 16, let's look at John 16, 26, 27. I will still go back to Romans 8, verse 26. John 16, 26, 27 says, in that day, you will do what? You will ask in my name. When is that day? It is now, because Jesus has been glorified. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. So it's not Jesus that is going to pray to the Father for you, because Jesus is now our senior brother if you have chosen him as your Lord. So you can now go directly to the Father to ask from him. But you have to ask in the name of Jesus, which means Father in the name of Jesus, which means Father, I stand before you not because I'm qualified, but Jesus is my qualification. And the Father will say, yes, my dear, what do you want me to do for you? So Jesus becomes our qualification. That is, he's the one that brings us in this place of undeserved or merited favor. And then verse 27 says, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. So we know how to pray in the name of Jesus, but he didn't say we don't know how to pray, but he said we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what we need to pray for concerning this situation, concerning that situation. He said, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. So you see, you miss out a lot when you don't pray a lot with the Holy Spirit. If you're already filled, but if you're not filled, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're losing out so very much. I believe that's the missing link in the life of many Christians today. So for example, my own example in my life, when I had a lady that was in my house, some years back, and then we had so many terrible issues happening in my family. We are born again. But to God be the glory, somebody came to my house and said, were you already filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, no. And he said, Abbe, you've been born again for a while. I said, well, I'm waiting for me to be holy so that I can now receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He said, no. That holiness is a process. The moment you receive Jesus, that Jesus becomes your holiness. In fact, he taught me through 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, and explained everything to me, and said, and he now prayed for me, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he encouraged me to pray a lot with tongues. And then he said, in order to feel better, because sometimes my mind will begin to tell me, what do you even know you're talking about? That I should just say, every tongue that is not of God, I command you not to proceed forth from my mouth in Jesus' name. That I should go ahead by faith, begin to pray with tongues. And I did that a lot that night. Do you know? I didn't know that the person causing havoc was living in my house. I didn't know. But I loved her. We treated her well, attending to her. We didn't think anything about it. But what happened was, after praying a lot with tongues, I went to bed. At the time, I was sleeping with two of my children, three of my children, because I was breastfeeding the last one. That was Onyeka at the time. That boy almost died, but for the intervention of the Spirit of God. So my husband, because the bed, it was only one bed, he had to stay on the other bed. He had to stay across the room. And from time to time, he would come in to help me to change their diapers and then to help me to help me around in the room. Then he would go back again. And if he was to come inside the room, he would normally just open the door and would come inside the room and do what he needed to do and would leave. But this time around, I got up and I wanted to use the restroom, and I usually keep the paper towel there by me because the children will cut a lot of it and mess up my toilet. So I just was cutting the paper towel, and all of a sudden, my door started opening just very, very gently. And I was wondering who was coming in, if it's my husband, he would just normally open the door, like the owner of the house that he was. So I just went to the door. I said, who is that? Immediately she put her head. No. The first one was that I opened my eyes. So I finished using the restroom. I lay down on the bed. And something said to me, why don't you turn on the light and make sure there are no cockroaches? I said, I know. If I turn the light now, that will clear off the sleep and I won't be able to sleep again. And then I lay down. The same thought kept on nagging. Then I got up. I turned on the light, and this lady was just lying down at the couch where I would usually sit to breastfeed, and opened up her, this thing was naked and was facing me like this. And then I just touched her. I said, what are you doing here? You have your own room and your own bed. She just cleaned her eyes. I said, whoa. She walked out. And she left the house. She didn't come back for 4 days. And then 4 days later, she came back again. The same thing happened. As I got up again to use the restroom, that was when the one that she was opening the door and was trying to come in. And because she wasn't coming in quickly, and I walked over, I said, who is that? She just cleaned her eyes again and walked away. She didn't come back again into her house. She packed her whole stuff and left the house. Then, remember, I kept on praying with tongues. One day, I had a revelation. Me and my husband, we were standing in front of a pregnant woman. And then the next thing I had was my pastor in my church saying, oh, I mentioned the name of that lady and say, oh, this person, may the Lord have mercy upon you in Jesus' name. And me and my husband, we just said amen. And the pregnant lady happened to be me. And that was because she came in, the way this thing started was, she came in, I was eating, she came in with chicken and then caught the leg, the thigh of it and dropped it inside my soup. And then I just, because she was related to us, so I didn't think anything about it. And I ate it, and I never thought anything about it. So that was how the baby in the womb was up down. My baby from that day never had any rest. And that baby almost died. People said, this was not like your child. A lot of things happened to him for 11 whole months. But for the intervention of God. And then what happened was 2 years later, she came to our house. She went back to the village. She came to our house. And she said she wanted me and my husband to pray for her, that we should please forgive her for all that she did in her house. I didn't even ask her, what did you do? But I just left it. I said, no, it's okay. Whatever you did it ignorantly. And finally, she gave her life to Christ. When we came down to the village again, she came to me and said, please, I should please forgive her for whatever she did. She knew what she did. But the Holy Spirit that searches all heart, he knows how to war for us. He knows how to intervene on behalf of his people. But you have to pray a lot with tongues. It happened again when I went to the village for something. And I have developed the habit of praying a lot with tongues. And he just said to me, just one morning, I already prepared what I was going to eat to travel, to go to where I was supposed to go. And I went to warm my food. He said, no, you're not eating this morning. Because immediately I woke up, I started praying with tongues. It's like I was kind of sensing something. And finally, long and short of it is that I finally went there and the whole gate was locked. And then he just let me just stand by the wall, continue to pray in the spirit. And I kept praying. You know, like you had that pressing inside of you. I kept praying and praying and praying and praying in spirit. And all of a sudden he said, begin to uproot whatever is buried, whatever is. And I started uprooting. And lo and behold, finally, when they came back, I went in, we slept. And when we woke up in the morning, the lady of the house said to me, just tell your husband to thank God with kobonafu. I don't know what kobonafu is. That was the language that she used. One penny and half. I should go and tell my husband to thank God with kobonafu. Then when we stepped out for her to now drop me where I would board the transport to go back to Lagos, there was this big hair, human hair, right at the center of the compound. And I said, what is this? She said, She said she was going to call somebody to take it and pack it. That was how God delivered me. So what I'm saying is that he was a war for you that your mind may never even go there to pray about it. But as you pray with tongues a lot of things happen. And God that searches the heart knows what the mind of the spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. These are long stories, but I've just tried to cut it short to fit into this. So as you pray along with tongues and fellowship with the word of God, you will receive clearer guidance from him. Amen? I was just watching, I don't know how many of you that watched this thing, you know, this week. There was a young boy, Justin. This boy from 3 months started having these rashes all over him. And they couldn't explain what was the source of it. So they went to hospital, did all manner of things. This boy will eat and will cough blood upon. I don't know how many people watched it this week. And then they have done all that they needed to do. And they were asking their pastor. And their pastor said, having done all to stand, keep standing. That the word of God, the scripture cannot be broken. God is faithful. While the father was holding this baby, and while the siblings were playing, you know, outside, he started praying with tongues and prayed. And all of a sudden, he said, there was be witnessing inside of our heart. Put your hands upon his heart and pray for his heart. The moment he laid hands upon the heart of this boy and prayed for the heart, the body temperature came back to normal, and those reddish stuff just started fizzling out. But how did he get it? The Holy Spirit told him what to do. Lay your hands upon his heart and pray. But all the prayers they have been praying, they were praying for the itching to stop. Remember, he said, you don't know what to pray for. Not that you don't know how to pray. So but when you pray with tongues, the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for you according to the will of God. Amen? That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, that we should not forbid speaking with tongues. And he himself said in 1 Corinthians 14, 13, that he prayed in tongues more than you all. So it is important that we pray with tongues a lot. If we don't, you are missing out a lot. So once received, your job is to constantly stir up the gift by praying a lot in the spirit, like Paul encouraged his son Timothy in 1 Corinthians, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, where he said, I speak with tongues more than you all. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, let's read it together. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, ready, go. That is why I will remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God. What did he call it? The gracious gift of God. What did he call it? The gracious, and it's so gracious. Amen. Continue. The inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders of at your ordination. Amen. The amber. Amber is a small piece of burning wood or glowing coal in a dying fire. In other words, don't let it die. Keep on finding the flame. How do you find it? You keep praying with tongues. You pray with tongues a lot. I thank God for my husband. I learned it from him. At the time, I didn't know all these benefits. I was always, every time you come to say something, he'll be doing like this. He will lie down, you see him. He will, in the night, when I'm sleeping, if I open my eyes and he's awake, he's doing. So he was the one that made me to pray with tongues a lot. Before, I would normally pray with tongues just when I want to, but now I pray with tongues a lot. And I thank God for my spiritual leader in my house. Amen? You magnify God, speaking forth the wonderful works of God as you pray with tongues a lot. You magnify God, speaking forth the wonderful works of God as you pray with tongues a lot. The disciples of Jesus, when the day of Pentecost, those multitudes that were there with them, according to Acts chapter 2, if you read 6 and 11, they said that they heard them, you know, speak in their own language. You know, verse 11 says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So as you pray with tongues, you are also expressing the wonderful works of God. You are glorifying God. You are magnifying God. We see it also in the life of a Cornelius family when Peter went to share with them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 46 said that those who believed, that they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So you give thanks well also when you pray with tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 17. Let's look at that one too. 1 Corinthians, let's ready, go. For you indeed give thanks well, but the order is not edified. Which means that praying with tongues, you're giving thanks to God. What he says by the fact that the order is not edified is that when somebody who does not know what it means to pray with tongues is around you, you don't need to be praying with tongues. You can do it privately. Or maybe when the whole church is praying with tongues, you do so. Because the other person will be wondering, what is this person talking? Did he drink? Is he drunk? So that's why you pray with tongues when the congregation say, let us pray together with tongues. Or in your private prayers, form the habit of praying with tongues a lot. You are magnifying God when you're doing that. So that's what he said in that 1 Corinthians chapter, Acts chapter 10, verse 46, The other one says you are speaking for the wonderful works of God. This one says you're giving thanks well. Amen. So when you pray with tongues a lot, you bless the Lord at all times, like David said in Acts chapter 13, in Psalm 34, verse 1. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Even verse 3, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. You join David to magnify the Lord when you pray with tongues a lot. And this was a man that the Bible said is a man after God's heart. Look at what he said in Psalm 107, 20, 22. Let's look at that. Psalm 107. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. He sends forth his word and heals them and rescues them from their pits and destruction. You know, see, hold on there. Say he sent forth his word. Jesus is the word made flesh. God already sent him. And apart from that, he now gave us the word of God. The word of God is God breath. The word of God, the Bible said in Hebrews 4:12, is quick, is alive and powerful, sharper than two-edged swords. And those of you who weren't here this morning, you missed out the testimony my husband was sharing about the man that was there and saw Jesus in front of him. And all of a sudden, the Jesus fizzled out. And what he saw in place of Jesus was now the word of God. And all of a sudden, the word began to breathe, which means that this word is alive. The word of God is alive, and that God sent him. So as you're reading the word of God, you're reading life. And the Holy Spirit, as you pray with tongues, the Lord gives you tremendous revelation about the word of God and everything that is already finished for you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So he said in verse 21, let's read verse 21. Oh, that men will praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And then verse 22 says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and rehearse his deeds with shouts of joy and singing. Which means even if you don't feel like it, as you begin to pray with tongues, you allow the Holy Spirit to do the praises, to do the magnification, to do the thanksgiving for you. And Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, therefore, by him, let us, by him, who is the him? By Jesus Christ, because of what he did. He said, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God delights in eating this fruit of your lips, which is a thanksgiving, magnifying his holy name, thanking him, speaking for the wonderful works of God. How do you speak for the wonderful works of God? Like what we are singing this morning. Oh, Father, I thank you. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Thank you for you have brought me into this place of undeserved, unmerited favor. I give you praise because I'm accepted in the beloved. I worship you. What an awesome. This is how you are speaking for the wonderful works of God. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, let's read it together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, ready, go. Thank God in how many things? In everything. What does everything mean? In everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Which means, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, God said, thank me. Why? Because I am your source. Because I'm a good daddy. That one, I'm taking care of it. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. So he said, thank me in every situation. And you know that thanksgiving is an expression of faith because you count it done. That's why he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplications with thanksgiving, because you know you can count on me. I'm your source. Power belongs to me, and I will handle it. I will take care of you. That's why you're thanking him even when you have not seen the manifestation of whatever it is that you're asking God for. Amen? And when you are thanking God, you shut the door against demonic activities because the devil will want you to grumble, to complain, to whine. But you rather choose to thank God no matter what that issue, no matter what that situation is. And of course, the Bible said in Psalm 103 verse 20, let's look at that, Psalm 103 verse 20, ready, go. Bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Amen? So, when you bless the name of the Lord, like I was just saying, Father, I give you praise. You healed me. You are a good daddy. You take care of me. It is well with me. You know what the angels are doing? They now come and make sure things are working out fine for you. Your angels, every one of us, we have our angels on assignment. And you keep them busy when you're speaking for the wonderful works of God upon your life. But you keep the demonic spirits busy when you're saying this thing, I don't know, it's always happening to me. They hate me. If you say they hate you, good luck to you. You will find you keep on experiencing hate. Because he said, like he told the children of Israel, as you have spoken into my ear, in Numbers 14:28, so will I do what? I will allow it, because that's what you want. It shall be unto you according to your faith. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What are you saying? Are you speaking forth the enemy's negatives, or are you speaking forth what the Father already accomplished for you, not going to, has already accomplished for you in Christ Jesus? Amen? That's why Philemon 1 verse 6 says that the sharing, let's read it together, Philemon 1 verse 6, Philemon, that the sharing of your faith may become what? Effective. Your faith becomes operative. Your faith becomes effective. How? By acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Not which is going to be in you. It's already in you. Your faith becomes operative, becomes effective as you begin to acknowledge every good thing which is already in you in Christ Jesus. You begin to praise and magnify his name for that. His angels are on assignment and they begin to make those things to become you, your experience, your reality. Amen? So praise and be raised. But as you complain, you remain plain. I was looking for the dictionary meaning of plain. It says undecorated. Nothing. You're plain, ordinary. But as you praise, the Bible said in Exodus 15 verse 11 that God himself is fearful in praises. Think of it. When somebody is praising you, is appreciating you, you find yourself, you want to keep on being, doing stuff good, You want to remain good. Amen? So, like the Bible said to the children of Israel, about the children of Israel, it said that they murmured and they were scattered, they were destroyed by the destroyer. And he said we should learn from their example. Complaining, griping, murmuring, you attract demonic spirits. You attract negative influences around you. You make your life, harder as you begin to complain and grumble and murmur. He said to us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without what? Grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. Do all things without complaining and murmuring. God takes it personal when you complain and murmur. Whether you're complaining and murmuring about your spouse, about your children, about whoever, God takes it personal because he is the one walking in you. He's the one walking in everybody. So he wants you to cooperate with him. So he wants you to just simply trust him. Amen? Picture the face of somebody that is murmuring and complaining. How does it look? It takes more muscle to whine, to grumble, to complain. It takes more muscles. And of course, you find out that you go to heaven quicker because you open the door for arthritis, for high blood pressure, and all what's not. You open the door for that when you whine and complain a lot. Now have a picture of somebody who is always smiling and is happy. He has that joyful, confident expectation of good. They grow younger. Their youths are renewed like the eagles. And people like to hang around such ones a lot. Like my husband, he's always smiling. He has this kind of positive, look, towards life. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, let's read it together. Proverbs 17, 22, ready, go. A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You don't want to get there. A broken spirit will dry your bones, but a merry heart will keep you healthy, youthful, younger, rosy, cheeky. Amen? You want to stick with that one. That's my preference. Amen? So now, the first place touched when Holy Spirit fell was the tongue. That was the first place that the Holy Spirit touched. And the tongue is the instrument of creation. The Bible said, let there be light in Genesis chapter 1. And what happened? And there was light. So that was, and the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So David said, I will say of the Lord. Our tongue, that was the first port of call. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 18, 20, 21, let's open to that. Proverbs 18, 20, 21, ready, go. A man's stomach will be satisfied with the fruit of what? Of his own mouth, not my own mouth. He will be satisfied with the consequences of his words. And the Father knows this. He doesn't want you to get yourself into a lot of trouble. And that's why the Holy Spirit fell first on the tongue. Amen? Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. So is it that you're speaking life to your situation, to your children? I know a pastor, I listened to that over the television. Because of a lot of terrible things he has said about his son grew up just behaving anyhow. This man was heartbroken and had prayed and prayed and fasted and prayed with tongues. And then one day, God told him, it's because of the things you had planted in the life of this boy. For a change, you have to begin to plant back. So this man every day will call his son, a grown adult, and will begin to bless this son, will begin to pronounce all manner of beautiful things upon the son. It didn't take one day, but gradually that son began to turn around. Because when you curse somebody's spirit, you know, you can break somebody's spirit, and the person will think, I'm worth nothing, I'm a nobody, and will begin to act that way. So there is life in the power of the tongue. You can bless yourself by the things you say, or you can curse yourself, or curse your family, or curse your situation, or curse your job by the things you say. You say, those who indulge it, in other words, you allow yourself to enjoy the pleasures of it, you will eat the benefits therein. Amen? So you have to protect your life by thinking before you speak. Proverbs 13, verse 2 and 3 said, verse 2 says, the one who guards his mouth, thinking before he speaks, protects his life. The one who opens his lips wide and chatters without thinking comes to ruin. You don't want to just open your mouth and begin to say anything. In James chapter 3, 6 and 8, James chapter 3, verse 6 says, let's read it together. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Has anybody ever said something to you and you lie down, you are crying, you are weeping? It would have been better for you that they just hit a cane on you than the word. It pierces your heart. Words can bring down a whole family, can bring down a whole life. The Bible called it a fire, a word of iniquity. It says it's set on fire by the curse of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. It causes strife amongst relations, just by what was said. You know, if you know what he said to me, if you know what he said, how he even said it, it is important that we chew words. The Bible said in James chapter 1, verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to what? To speak. So when you're slow to speak, you're allowing the whole, you can begin to do, like, so a lot of times when people are talking to me, sometimes I'll do like this. I'll be praying in the spirit, but they won't know. And I'm listening in to know how I was going to respond. it is important that we should be slow to speak and slow to wrath. And he told us in verse 20, for the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which he requires from us. So yielding our tongues to the Holy Spirit by praying a lot with tongues will help us. It's only God that can tame your tongue. You don't have what it takes to tame your tongue, because the Bible says so. If you like, you try. So praying with tongues a lot will help you to checkmate this your tongue. So let us receive this, praying with tongues with joy. And if you have it already, pray a lot with tongues. Let's look at James chapter 1, 26, 27. James 1, 26, we are going to read it together. Ready, go. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, piously observant of the external duties of his faith, and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is what? Is worthless, futile, barren. That's what the Bible says. Verse 27. External religious worship, religion as it is expressed in outward acts, that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God the Father, is this: to visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their afflictions and need, and to keep oneself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world. There are lots of vulgar words going on in the world today. And some of us sit down at the cozy of our room and you are being entertained by that kind of thing. You think it's not going to rub off on you. The Bible said evil communication will do what? Corrupt good manners. Whether you like it or not, before you know it, they begin to seep out. So you have to be worth. And they say if your religion is vain, worthless, if you have not yet learned to bridle your tongue. But if you can bridle your tongue, then you can bridle. You'll be able to control your whole body. Amen? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, 29 to 32. Ephesians 4, 29, 32. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others, according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him, by whom you were sealed and marked, branded as God's own, for the day of redemption, the final deliverance from the consequences of sin. 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. That's behavior exhibiting hostile attitude. Then verse 32. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Amen? This is what the Father expects from us. So, and it is as you pray with tongues the Lord and you fellowship with the word of God, you find out that the extent to which you speak vulgar words or whatever it is that it will not minister grace to people will begin to reduce and reduce until at a point you'll be able to overcome it. Amen? He told us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, he said, let's read it together. He said, let your speech always be with what? With grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. They don't merit it. They don't deserve it. Look at what they said to me. But in your response, you offer them grace. You offer them what they don't deserve. That's a way you overcome evil with good. Let's continue. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. But these things, remember, not by might, not by power, by the Spirit of God. As you pray with tongues, say, Lord, the Holy Spirit helps you to know the right words to use. So you don't have to retaliate. You don't have to respond back because of what they said to you. You rather respond back in peace, in love. You overcome evil with good. 1 Peter 3, verse 9 says, let's read it together. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That's what the Father desires from you. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you what? His blessing. Amen? So if you love life and you want to see good days, how many of us who love life and want to see good days in our lives, in our children, in our jobs? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Ready, go. For the one who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good, whether apparent or not, must keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking guile. That's treachery, deceit. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's why Paul encouraged us in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 18. Ephesians 5, 15, 18, he said, verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil, 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that you pray with tongues, the Lord. And verse 18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with what? With the Spirit. If you are filled with the Spirit, the evidence is praying with tongues. Be filled with this. In other words, you know, like the drunk man. Like I used to give this example. My husband told me this. His roommate that got drunk and came inside the room, carried his bicycle, laid the bicycle on the bed, covered the bicycle with his blanket, and went inside the wardrobe and slept there. What do you think made him do that? He was under the influence of the alcohol. And there was this other guy that was walking and then jammed the electric pole, and he said, you people, when you're walking, you should be mindful of where you're going. He was talking to the electric pole because he was under the influence of alcohol. And then this one happened before me, a colleague of mine at work. He was a drunk. That day, he fell inside a gutter right in front of our house as I came out to sweep. And then the motorcycle was on top of him. And some people gathered to help him. And he just lifted his slim fingers and said, which means if I should not get off from here, I'm going to slap the hell out of you all. Who needed help? He was the one. But he was under the influence of alcohol. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit controls everything that you're doing. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 said, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. And he says, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And praying with tongues is one way you'll be selfless in your prayers, because the Holy Spirit can take a hold of your tongue and begin to pray for somebody else that needed, you know, intervention. So we are encouraged to pray with tongues a lot. And as you pray with tongues a lot, you find that it will begin to affect your marriage, your business, everything that you do. Amen? Tongues is the door into the supernatural. This is the door into all the other spiritual gifts. You know, the Bible told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11, it said, but the manifestations of the gift is given to each one for the profit of all. It said, for to one is given the word of wisdom. We also have the word of knowledge. We have faith, gifts of healings, the working of miracles. We have gifts of prophecy, discerning of spirit, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These are the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, and God wants these things to be operative in the church. But we have to desire for these things to manifest. And as you pray with tongues a lot, that will increase the extent to which these gifts of the Spirit will be operative upon your life, upon your church, upon our church. Amen? And the Bible made us to understand that the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says, let's read it together. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. As you begin to pray with tongues, the Holy Spirit will reveal a lot. Time will not permit me to begin to share my own testimony, but at least I know Kenneth Hagin. I listened to him. He said that anytime he prayed with tongues a lot, he manifests a lot of these gifts of the Spirit upon his life. But if he prays less with tongues, he manifests less of this. And even he said that it was by praying with tongues that God began to show him who was going to be his wife and even how many children they were going to marry. Praying with tongues will help you to discern accurately the drought that God wants you to go in your life. Amen? And Jesus said that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with tongues. So if you're a believer, you got to speak with tongues, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 17, 18. If you're a believer, you must have to be speaking with tongues. If you don't want it, you're going to live a very, very weak Christian life. Jesus said greater things that he did, we would do, because he was going to the Father. Where is he today? He's with the Father. You want these greater things to manifest through your life, but you have to pray a lot with tongues. Amen? So it is the way of rest, especially in this time of perplexity that we are in the world today. When you pray a lot with tongues, it will help you. The Bible called it in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. It said, this is the true rest, the way to true comfort and happiness to the weary, and this is the true refreshing. Praying with tongues is true rest and true refreshing, and it helps you to live an excellent Christian life, the kind of life that God wants you to live. As you pray with tongues a lot and you fellowship with the Word of God, you are receiving tremendous revelation like Paul did and wrote so many books of the Bible, and you will be a better Christian than you ever thought of. Amen? Before we close, I want us to repeat the short video that we watched last Sunday for the benefit of those who weren't here, and then my beloved husband is going to come to close us. Can we have that video, please? Hello? So, purpose in your heart to pray with tongues a lot is a tremendous. God, your Father, knows what is best for you, and he gave you the best of gifts.
Did you know that unforgiveness can
Sorry, please. Come again.
It's like cancer. Dr. Stephen Sandiford, a cancer surgeon,
start again.
Says unforgiveness.
Hello, start again, please, so we can hear it from the beginning.
Emotional
wound. You know that unforgiveness can actually make you sick. It's classified as a disease in medical books. Now, forgiveness therapy is being used to help treat diseases like cancer. Dr. Stephen Sandiford, a cancer surgeon, says unforgiveness makes people sick and keeps them sick.
It's important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they really can hinder someone's reactions to the treatments, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment.
Of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiveness issues, and of those, more than half are severe. That's according to research by Dr. Michael Berry, a pastor and the author of the book, The Forgiveness Project.
These negative emotions, this anger and hatred, creates a state of chronic anxiety. Chronic anxiety very predictably produces adrenaline and cortisol, which deplete the production of natural killer cells, which is your body's foot soldier in the fight against cancer. When a person forgives from the heart, which of course is the gold standard that we use in Matthew 18, forgiveness from the heart, we find that they're able to find a sense of peacefulness. Quite often our patients refer to that as a feeling of lightness. Lori, we don't realize what a burden anger and hatred is until we let it go.
And the first step in forgiveness therapy is recognizing forgiveness is not the same thing as condoning what a person did, which is the major